In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray
for us. Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon. Okay, the thrust of my presentation this afternoon will be starting off with a little bit of humor so you don't fall asleep. Then I'd like to talk about apparitions in general quickly. Then I'd like to talk about Juan Diego, and then pretty quickly go through the apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico, and then I'd like to end by giving what is the essential message that Our Lady gives to us. I was able to find some funny church bulletin bloopers, so I'd like to share with you some of them. First was this: ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Next. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Next Thursday there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and of course, gracious hostility. Should have been hospitality, right? Potluck supper. Sunday at 5 p.m. Prayer and medication to follow. Couple more. The low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. The teenagers will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Here's a good one. Weight Watchers will at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, they will meet. Please use large double door at the side entrance. If I don't give you a little bit of humor, you're going to fall asleep. Okay, I think it's very, very beautiful to see so many people here after Black Friday, right? And it's somewhat difficult to get a lot of people to come to this retreat because people are often engaged in more material pursuits, but it's good to see you and it's good to have you here. You're welcome. Okay, first of all, maybe going through several themes pretty quickly for lack of time. Okay, Marian apparitions. There are many Marian apparitions out there. But I would suggest that you be very careful not to follow all of them. Follow only the Marian apparitions that have the approval of church authority. Is that clear?
Yes.
You find yourself following Marian apparitions that are spurious, questionable, then you could get into big danger. For example, like Bayside, New York, which happened many years ago, hasn't been approved by the church. Now, I would suggest that if you're going to be studying Marian apparitions, I would suggest that you get to know in detail three: Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared to three little children in 1917, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. And she gives us wonderful messages for the modern world. Prayer, sacrifice for the conversion of sinners, and the rosary. And she ends up by giving her identity, which is Our Lady of the Rosary. Second, I would strongly recommend that you get to know Our Lady of Lourdes. She appeared in 1858 to a little girl whose name was Bernadette Soubirous. She actually appeared 18 times. And she revealed her identity as I am the Immaculate Conception. This was 1858, 4 years after the official proclamation by Pope Pius IX of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. So that's Our Lady of Lourdes, 1858, to Saint Bernadette Soubirous. And the third is the one that we're going to be talking about today. It's Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she appeared in Mexico in the year 1531. She appeared four times to Juan Diego. She also appeared to his uncle, Juan Bernardino. So these are apparitions. These are apparitions that are approved by the church that we can follow and derive a lot of fruit from them. Now, when Our Lady appears, she's never going to contradict divine revelation, biblical realities, but rather Mary is going to what? Reaffirm what has already been taught in the Bible, and especially what has been taught by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For that reason, the last words that Mary said in the Bible were, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary is never going to be teaching anything that is aside from what Jesus himself taught. Okay, now with respect, in other words, Our Lady often will come as a catechist. Father Robert Fox. Some of you heard of Father Robert Fox, who was a very well-known priest that would preach and teach Our Lady of Fatima the message. And he went to Fatima in pilgrimage many times. Pretty well-known author. Remember once hearing a story of Father Fox. He was traveling, I think it was in Florida, and he was speeding on the highway. And the priest pulled him over. And he said, you know, your father, you know, who are you? You're speeding. He said, well, I'm the well-known Father Fox. He said, I don't care if you're Mother Goose, you are speeding. So Our Lady is never going to be contradicting what sacred scripture teaches. Now with respect to Guadalupe, I'll give you two biblical passages that you'll read on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. First is Revelation 12:1. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon underneath her feet, this crown of 12 stars on her head. Great passage for Our Lady Guadalupe. Woman clothed with the sun. Look how she's clothed with the sun. With the moon underneath her feet, you see? That passage was written 2,000 years ago, but that did refer to what would happen in the 16th century in Mexico. Another passage that the church takes is Mary's visitation. Why do you think that? Because Mary came to visit us. As Mary went to visit Saint Elizabeth in an errand of charity. So Mary came to visit the world, to bring to us the good news of salvation. So when you're reading approved Marian apparitions, it's very important that we have also a biblical foundation where we can flesh out these apparitions. Okay, Mary, when she appears in Guadalupe, a very key element is going to be flowers, is going to be roses. The most famous Italian poet, his name is Dante, and he wrote Divine Comedy. Divine Comedy is Dante is traveling from hell to purgatory, from purgatory to heaven. When he arrives at heaven, he's going up and up and up. He's ascending. When he arrives at a very hard high point, he looks and he sees this rose. It's called La Rosa Mystica, the mystical rose. And that's Mary. And beyond the mystical rose, you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Mary is the daughter of the Father, she's the mother of the Son, and she's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. And she's the mystical rose. Beautiful title of Mary, the mystical rose, La Rosa Mystica. So let's move now into the time frame of Our Lady Guadalupe. As we mentioned, Fatima was 1917, Lourdes 1858. Guadalupe took place in the year 1531. Now I see an Ignatian two standards with respect to history. Because when she's appearing, the church is going through a very, very difficult time. And for two reasons. First is, in the 16th century, you have King Henry VIII. You have Martin Luther. You have John Calvin. You have Zwingli. You have John Huss. You have Melanchthon. Who are these? These are the Protestant reformers. And sad to say, as a result of this, many will be leaving the church. But what Our Lady is going to accomplish in Mexico is going to be far greater than the damage that happened in Europe. The number of converts who will arrive at that is going to be much more than the numbers that the church will lose. I think that's a good Ignatian contrast. You see, the evil done by the reformers by wrenching off many Catholics. We're going to see Our Lady when she comes. Many more converts are going to be coming into the church. And that's one thing that Our Lady does, is Our Lady works at converting sinners, converting souls, bringing people to Christ, bringing the lost sheep to the shepherd. Also at the same time, you have the Battle of Lepanto, which was a naval battle between the Christians and the Muslims, in which, thanks be to God, that the Christians would win the battle. So you have the Muslims on one part and the Protestants on the other part. The church is going through a difficult time. And today the church is going through a very difficult time too, right? That's why I think now more than ever we have to get to know Mary, love Mary, cry out to Mary, consecrate herself to Mary, give ourselves to Mary, bring other people to Mary. Amen? Amen. Okay, now let's move from the historical perspective to the person of Juan Diego. Now Juan Diego, in the time of Our Lady Guadalupe, was 57 years old. He's the recipient of the apparitions. Now we've got people here that are older than 57. Some that are younger, okay? Back in the time of Juan Diego, most people did not live to be 57 years old. The age range was probably about 40. So Juan Diego lived way beyond the median age of his time. Juan Diego was not born a Catholic, but rather Juan Diego was an adult convert to Catholicism. All these elements I'm talking about are related to us today. More and more people in this country and the world are living pagan lifestyles. It's up to us to try to invite those who are walking in darkness to enter into the light. Those who are walking in darkness, we don't have Christ, we're walking in darkness. to walk in the light. Juan Diego was a widower. He was married to Doña Maria Lucia, who passed away. She was also a convert. We have no record of them having any children. Now the character of Juan Diego, oh by the way, Juan Diego was recently canonized. John Paul II, it took 9 years. Juan Diego, it took more than 400 years. So he teaches us patience, right? He was recently canonized by John Paul II. His character. Now he's a saint. I invite all of you to try to get to know Juan Diego. Talk to Juan Diego. Take him as your patron saint. Love Juan Diego. Invoke Juan Diego. And ask Juan Diego for the grace to really get to know, to love the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then Mary will give us the grace to love Christ. That's the whole dynamic. The saint brings us to Mary. Mary brings us to Jesus. Jesus brings us to God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
What was his character? He was simple in a complicated world. Humble in a very proud world. Obedient. Everyone wants to do their own thing. He was childlike. Jesus said, unless we become like a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. He was submissive. He was docile. He was prayerful. All of these are beautiful, beautiful virtues and qualities that all of us should pray to imitate. As we mentioned, Juan Diego was a convert to Catholicism when he was an adult. He was converted. The Franciscans had arrived in Mexico recently, and Juan Diego was one of the early converts. And the first bishop of the city of Mexico would be Fray Juan Zumárraga, who was a Franciscan priest as well as a bishop. Okay, what were the living arrangements of Juan Diego? What I'm saying now I think is very important in our modern world. Juan Diego lived with his elderly uncle, whose name was Juan Bernardino. He loved his uncle. He cared for his uncle. And he attended his uncle. And now that we have so many laws in the world as well as this country, which are promoting euthanasia. And euthanasia doesn't mean a young Asian person, okay? A little bit of vocabulary clarification, huh? In other words, we see in a world where elderly people are being discarded. They're being rejected. They're being forgotten. Juan Diego teaches us the importance of loving all, especially the elderly. the marginalized, those who suffer, those who are seen as useless. The American society is very much characterized by what is called utilitarianism. Utilitarianism was promoted by John Stuart Mill, Jeremy Bentham in the 19th century. These social political philosophers have said that one has value only in as much as they are economically productive. Jesus never taught that, did he? Utilitarianism, the more money you have, the more important you are. That's not a gospel value. On the contrary, who did Jesus love most? The poor, the sick, the lepers, paralytics, blind, the deaf. Did you hear me? Those are the ones that Jesus had a very special love for. So did Juan Diego. Okay, so there we have the background of this wonderful modern saint. Okay, let's start with the apparitions. Okay, we go back to 1531, and Juan Diego is December 9th, 1531, which is the first apparition. And it's very interesting because on December 9th is the day in which we celebrate the feast day of Juan Diego. Nothing happens by chance, huh? Okay, so December 9th, 1531, Juan Diego is traveling on foot. And where is he going? He's going to church. He's going to church. Well, let's stop and comment on that. He's traveling many miles. He's 57 years old. He's walking without sandals. He's walking sometimes in the cold. There are no Burger Kings along the way. Or In-N-Outs, huh? There's no Marriott hotels either, okay? It was a tough life. So Juan Diego is traveling many miles to go to church. And I say for three reasons. This message is very, very beautiful, very catechetical, and very actual. Number one is that he's going to the city of Mexico after he's been converted. He's received baptism, communion, confirmation. But he's going there for further instruction, which is very important. For further instruction. This is called permanent formation. Not Kaiser Permanente, but rather permanent formation. I'd like to comment on this. I believe that one of the most urgent pastoral necessities in this country as well as the whole world is we have to work on permanent formation. Permanent formation. All too often what do we have? Dedicating time and energy to little children. Fine. Great. Dedicating time and energy to confirmation kids. Great. But what about the parents? What about the parents? The parents should be the primary targets of evangelization today. Amen? Because the parents, as Vatican II points out, the Catechism of Catholic Church points out, the parents are the first educators of the children. Right? Today I did a couple of baptisms. I told the parents, you have to be the first teachers of the children. So the children are like sponges. They absorb. You have to teach them how to pray. I told them a few months ago I was able to go to Florida to visit my parents before my father passed away. And when I was visiting them, one of their great grandchildren was brought to visit them. And they told me that this little kid could already pray the Creed and the Rosary, and he was only 2 years old. I didn't believe him. I was a cynic. What happened was, he came, he said, Mikey, come here. How about the Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And he could pray the rosary. How could a two-year-old pray the rosary and pray the creed? Because of the good formation of the parents and the parents instilling education in their children. Amen?
Amen.
So Juan Diego teaches us the real urgency of studying and learning our faith until we die. Studying and learning our faith until we die. Amen?
Amen.
Second is Juan Diego was going to church, to Mass. We should love Mass. Mass should be the very center of our lives. Now it's interesting, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, their apparitions were different, but she asked for the same thing. And what was it? Our Lady of Lourdes asked for a church. Our Lady of Fatima asked for a church. Our Lady of Guadalupe asked for a church. Why? So that Jesus will be born in the church. Jesus is born every time the priest gives absolution. Jesus is born every time the priest baptizes. Jesus is born every time the priest says the words of consecration. Jesus is born every time the priest says the body of Christ. Mary always brings us Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Mary brings the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ is the church. Christ comes through the sacraments. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So Juan Diego is heading toward the city of Mexico. And while he's on the way to Mexico, he arrives at a hill which is called Tepeyac. Tepeyac. And there in Tepeyac, early in the morning, he could hear the sound of birds singing. And he looked at the top of the hill and he saw a beautiful young woman dressed as an Aztec maid. And she looked very much like a Mexican. And a lady appears, she appears often like the people of the country. A lady Fatima appears to be a Portuguese woman. A lady Lourdes appears to be a French woman. And a lady of Guadalupe did not speak Spanish, not to say that she didn't know it, no, but she spoke in the native language of Juan Diego. Now what she wanted was this. In a very dear, endearing way, she said to Juan Diego, she wanted him to go into the city of Mexico and to ask the bishop to have a church built. And that she'd be very, very pleased and very happy if he would carry out this message. So there you have the first apparition. And the message, go to the bishop, ask for a church. Juan Diego accepts this invitation and he heads off to the city of Mexico. He becomes the ambassador of Mary. She says she'd be very grateful and she would repay him for carrying out this action. So he arrived at the city of Mexico, and when he arrives at the bishop's residence, he has to wait. We see in Juan Diego the importance of patience. Are you patient? Hello? And the lady once said, give me patience right now! Ahorita, ahorita, ahorita. Right now. So finally, when the bishop opens up the door, Juan Diego has to speak to an interpreter. He relays the message to the bishop. The bishop listens to him attentively. But Juan Diego gets the impression that Juan Zumárraga doesn't really believe him. At least that was the impression Juan Diego got from the first interview. The bishop says, fine, fine, we'll talk about this some other day. Okay? I come back later, hey, we'll talk about this. No? So Juan Diego leaves, as Ignatius would say, in a state of desolation. Because he felt that he was rejected, he felt that his message was not going to be accepted. This is December 9th. Okay, the second apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe is the same day. So Juan Diego is heading back from the residence of the bishop to his own residence. And he meets Our Lady again. And this is a very, very, very endearing apparition. Now basically what Juan Diego says is this. He says, look, you have chosen the wrong person. You have made a mistake. You've chosen the wrong person. try to find someone that's better. Try to find someone that is more educated, more eloquent, more polished. In other words, get a person that really has class. Basically, he says, I'm nobody. And there's a whole series of words that he uses explaining who he is. But basically, he says that I'm nobody. You get someone who's important. And what happens as a result of this is that Our Lady loves him even more. Why? Because Our Lady loves. She loves humility. Mary wants us to be humble. She wants us to be humble. Okay, this took place December 9th. It was on a Saturday. Okay, the following day is Sunday. Juan Diego heads off to church. And he speaks with the bishop another time. But what has happened is that the bishop, the Holy Spirit has been working on the bishop, such that the next interview between the bishop and Juan Diego is very different. The bishop is asking him a lot of questions. Who was she? What did she look like? Where did it happen? What did she say? What was her message? I mean, he was just rifling Juan Diego with all these questions, which was very different from the day before, in which the bishop barely said anything. So you see the working of the Holy Spirit. The working of the Holy Spirit and the bishop, because this is going to be an apparition that's going to be touching millions of people until the end of the world. By the way, do any of you know the most visited church in the world? St. Peter in Rome. The second most important? Guadalupe. So the first is St. Peter in Rome, where we have the Pope and John Paul II buried. Second to that is Our Lady of Guadalupe. So this is of great importance for the history of the world, that this apparition would be accepted. Okay, the third apparition. Juan Diego is returning once again to his home. And he meets Our Lady. And the essence of the conversation is this. You can read the whole conversation if you like. You can just Google it out. Google it down, the words of Mary. But this is what she asked for. By the way, he asked for. The bishop wants a sign. You have to give a sign that you are authentic. And Our Lady says, I will give you a sign. So this third apparition is very simple. The essence of it is the sign. That is Sunday, December 10th, 1531. She told Juan Diego to come back the following day, which would have been December 11th, on Monday. Well, what happened was this. Juan Diego, living with his uncle, Juan Bernardino, who became very sick, and I say very sick, to the point that his uncle was actually dying. So that day, December 11th, Juan Diego spent the whole day with his uncle, trying to do all he possibly could to help him. There's another message. The importance of staying close to people that are sick. Staying close to the people that are dying. Staying close to those who just have a few more hours to live or a few more days to live. So the message of Our Lady Guadalupe is very, very actual for us today. Okay, December 12th, Juan Diego gets up early with the intention of traveling into the city of Mexico. And this time, the intention is for him to find a priest. So the priest would be able to give his uncle the last sacraments. Another message for us. You know people that are very sick to the point of dying. Try to provide for them a reception of the last sacraments. And pray that also, God willing, all of us will be able to receive the last sacraments. Be able to receive confession, the anointing of the sick, Holy Communion, before the Lord calls us. What a great way to die, to be able to receive the last sacraments. Great way to pass from this world to the next. So that was his intention. But he had a problem, that there was going to be a roadblock. There was going to be an obstacle. There was going to be some type of detour. So this is one of the most endearing parts of the apparition, and it's funny. It's charming. So what he decides to do is, instead of going up Tepeyac, he decides that he would take a roundabout way. So he decides he's going to go around the hill. If he goes around the hill, then he'd be able to avoid her, right? Common sense, no? Does it happen? So what happens is that he goes around the hill and she cuts him off. Now the conversation is so endearing. He sees her and says, "Well, did you sleep well last night?" "How are you feeling?" Very courteous. Un caballero, huh? And then she says consoling words for Juan Diego and for all of us. And those words are, "No te aflijas, no soy yo tu madre." Do not worry. Do not worry. Am I not your mother? Apply these words to yourself. Do not worry. Am I not your mother? We all have problems like Juan Diego, right? Don't forget that Mary is your mother. You have, or you have had, if your mother has passed away, you have, or have had a natural mother, but all of you have a spiritual mother. And that's Mary. And she loves you. And she'll always love you. She cares for you. She prays to Jesus for your salvation. for your eternal happiness. So that's the first point, that Mary is the mother of Juan Diego, but she's your mother too. Number two, she says, say it in Spanish and translate it in English. Estás bajo el cruzado de mis brazos. You are behind the crossing of my arms. You're behind the crossing of my arms. What's behind the crossing of her arms? What's that? That's right. So not only is Mary our mother, but also Mary wants you to find refuge in her heart. The two most safe refuges for the human person in this world and the next is in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen? We want to find refuge in her heart. And Mary formed the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As we pray in the Litany of the Sacred Heart, Sacred Heart of Jesus formed in the womb of Mary, have mercy on us. Amen?
Amen.
So finding refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then she said, also, Estás siempre mi sombra. You are always in my shadow. Always in my shadow. Remember when I was a kid, I used to like to run a lot and I tried to race my shadow. I would say, 1, 2, 3, go, and I'd run from one place to the other. My shadow always beat me. But my shadow was always present. So when we say, Mary's saying, you're in my shadow, which means that Mary is always present to us. Amen?
Amen.
Mary always loves us. Mary is always looking down upon us. Mary is always present to shelter us, to protect us, to give us refuge. She's like the Ark of Noah. Remember that? In the time of Noah, the deluge ended up by killing all those people. Only those who were within the Ark were saved. So we want to seek refuge in this Ark of the Covenant, which is Mary. Then Mary said also this, you are bajo mi regazo. You are behind my apron. Now the apron would cover the stomach of Mary. So what she was saying here is, you are in my womb. You're in my womb. What is the most intimate relationship that can exist between two human persons? A baby in the womb of the mother. St. Louis de Montfort says that we have to enter into the womb of Mary so that Mary can form us. She can mold us. She can make us into what? No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So Mary can form us into other Christ. So those words in the fourth apparition, they're charged with spiritual meaning. Mary is your mother. Her heart is your refuge. Her shadow is simply present. Mary wants you also to find refuge in her womb. so that she can form you into another Christ. After saying that, Mary's insistent that Juan Diego carry out the message. And she says to him, now go on the hilltop and you'll be able to find the sign. So Juan Diego lifts up his eyes and he sees these beautiful flowers that are growing in the cold weather. So now we're going to see a series of miracles that are going to happen. First miracle is that roses are not going to be growing in the middle of winter. Second miracle is that these roses, these Castilian roses, were native to Europe, not to Mexico. And the bishop is a European bishop. So if the bishop is going to be seeing these roses, he can say, where did these roses come from? Did these come from Spain? And the third is that roses are not going to be flourishing in the middle of the desert. That's where you get cactus. So here you have three miracles in one. So Juan Diego goes and he cuts the roses. And here's another detail. He just throws them in what is called his tilma. Now this little detail I've always loved. He just throws them in his tilma. Kind of like a disorder where he just chucks them in there. Now what happens is Mary beckons him to come close, and Mary with her own hands, what does she do? What? She arranges those roses in a very orderly fashion. What does Ignatius say? One of the purposes of the Ignatian exercise is to order the disorder, right? We should ask Mary to help us to order our own disorder, especially as we enter into Advent in a matter of a couple hours. To order the disorder. Then after that's done, they're arranged properly, Mary sends him off as his ambassador. And there he is, he's scurrying through the fields, heading toward the city of Mexico. And when he arrives, some of the attendants of the bishop just believe that this guy's a nuisance, he's a liar. And they wanted to teach him a lesson or two. So they saw him with his tilma covering something. And they tried to pull the tilma down, and they saw the roses, then the roses remained painted on his tilma. So there we have another miracle. They should have fallen, right? There they remained painted on his tilma. He arrives at the residence of the bishop, and once again he has to wait. After a long wait, the door is open, the bishop sees Juan Diego. Juan Diego, with great reverence, goes before the bishop, pays him homage and reverence, being a prelate. Then he opens up his tilma. And what happens is those flowers come cascading to the ground. And Juan Diego is looking at the bishop, but the bishop is not looking at the flowers on the ground. Why? What's that? Okay, now you got another two miracles. You got the miracle of the flowers before the eyes of the bishop, and the bishop is aware of those roses. But what does he see? He sees a beautiful image of a young woman who is impressed on that tilma. And the bishop falls to his knees and he starts to weep. And he begs pardon for not having believed at first. And he takes the tilma from Juan Diego. And he pays reverence to this great tilma. Because in the tilma is impressed Mary, the Mother of God. Now, another miracle is necessary to give full credence to this apparition. Juan Diego also, when he spoke to Our Lady Guadalupe, spoke to her about his uncle. And she says, don't worry about your uncle, he'll be okay. So what happened was, when Our Lady was talking to Juan Diego, she went to Juan Bernardino, and he was healed immediately. An immediate cure. So Juan Bernardino is going to be coming to the residence of the bishop, and he's going to tell the bishop that he saw Our Lady come to him and heal him. Another miracle. But another key miracle is this, is that not too long after the apparition, the Indians were celebrating with great joy. With great joy, this apparition. And one of them launched an arrow. And the arrow went through the neck of an Indian warrior, thereby killing him. So there he is lying dead. And what they do is they bring him in contact with the image of Our Lady Guadalupe. And the man comes back to life. That was the key miracle that really gave credence to the apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe. And then they pulled the arrow out just like this. Any doctors and nurses here? Just doesn't work that way, does it? No? Just doesn't work that way. And the man was totally cured, and he just had those two little marks where the arrow went right through his neck. Miracles. Okay, for lack of time, I would just like to tell you one more miracle. And this is the greatest miracle. Within 30 years, you're going to have 8 million converts to Catholicism. 8 million converts to Catholicism in a matter of about 30 years. It's almost calculated as if it were a constant Pentecost for 30 years. Pentecost happened one day 2,000 years ago. This was happening constantly for 30 years. 8 million. And as a result of that, Mexico is the biggest Spanish-speaking country, Catholic country in the world. It's all because of the apparition of Our Lady Guadalupe. In conclusion, three messages. Number one is John Paul II called Mary the patron of the Americas. Let us pray for the United States as well as the Americas, that we will come back to God. Number two, that like Juan Diego, all of you are called to bring the good news of salvation to the world through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And number three, all of you have a loving mother. And the name of that mother is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, thy life, thy sweetness, and thy heart. And thee do we cry, and thou shalt be with thee. Thee do we sing with our song, mourn and weep with thy weep to us. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, and rise in mercy towards us. And after this resurrection, show on us the blessed fruit of our Jesus. O clement, O loving, O most merciful. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you all.